Good morning, brothers and sisters. Okay. Let's begin our sermon with the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we gather all together here in the morning in order to worship you, in order to hear from you. May your voice and words be heard. Please open, we pray that you open our eyes so that we can see and open our ears so that we can hear. Make our heart gentle so we are humble and take your teaching. We pray for your spirit of understanding and the spirit of wisdom so that we will be able to learn your precept and to understand and keep them with us every day when we walk. We pray for your presence with us this morning, O Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time when we talked about 1 Peter chapter 3, 2 and 3, it talks about what are the responsibility and what are the responsibility to live in earth during suffering. So Peter has been encouraging us to respect other and love other. Like in chapter 2 and 3, it says, Slaves have to respect their master, wives to respect their husband, and husband respect their wives, and also we love our enemies. After Peter talked about how we react to the suffering, and like he is preparing us practically, in the following chapter, in chapter 3, verse 11, he starts to prepare us how to deal with suffering mentally. So let's see what he said. Okay, and in verse 13, it says, "Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good?" With the New English Translation, it has the word "for" before the verse. So it has the word "for." It is because the reason for doing good because of what it says in verse 12. In verse 12, it says that God is against those who do evils. So because God is against those who do evils, so God is not going to harm us when we do good. And generally, people are not harmed for those that who are acting on the act of kindness. Like people tend to do evil, return evil with evil, and return good with good. So Peter here is saying that like if you're going to eager to do good, then no one's supposed to going to harm you. But in verse 14, it says, "But even though you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed." He said in here is even if you should suffer, which means in other words that it happens to suffer, which means that it is not normal, but it could happen that even though you do good, you may encounter suffering. So, and especially when for what is right. In here, for what is right means it is for the sake of righteousness, as the translation from the NASB. And Peter here says that even though if it happened to suffer, even though when you're doing what is for righteousness, do not fear of their threats. Do not be frightened. In here, the threats could be intimidation, could be bullying from the people around you or from your coworker, or when you're in school, it could be from your classmate or from some of your unfriendly friends. And it could be, like I said, it could be bullying, could be intimidation, could be oppression, or even for persecution in those days that would cause their suffering. And also for someone that is causing you suffering will be the threats too. In here, Paul Peter quotes from Isaiah chapter 8. And I'll give you a little bit of background of Isaiah chapter 8. Isaiah chapter 8 is Isaiah was warning the Jews against their relying on Assyria because they were afraid of Assyria. So in chapter 8, Isaiah, Lord encouraged Isaiah not to fear. And in chapter 8, verse 13, it said, the one to fear is the Lord Almighty. And in It says, do not call conspiracy. Everything these people cause a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. And also in Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7. In Proverbs, chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. So, Lord Almighty is the one that we fear. And the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Once we start fear of God, and then we will know God, and then we will start to have the knowledge. So in verse 14, in here, Peter actually say that doing good is good, but sometimes we do experience sufferings for doing good. Even if that's occurred, it brings special blessings to the sufferers. It says, you are blessed. So do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. So what kind of blessing that we can see? And Matthew in chapter 5, verse 10 to 12, when it talk about the beatitude, it actually talk about blessed who are the suffering. In chapter 5, verse 10, it said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So here we see that Matthew also encouraged, Jesus also encouraged his disciples that we could face suffering, but not to worry, then we've got a greater reward in heaven. Okay, and let's keep going with verse 15. In verse 15 says that, but in your hearts set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Here it says that to set your heart, to keep your heart set apart from Christ. So because of the hope that we have. So it is what the hope that we have in us. And in here, Peter encouraged the Christians to be ready, always ready. When it is chance, then we have to share with other peoples what the hope that we have in us. People may not be interested what the hope we have, actually. They will not just come across you and say, hi, Linda, can you tell me what the hope you have? They will not say that, right? But then we just have to prepare that whenever it comes to a chance, you have to explain to them that, like, why am I doing it? Just because of the hope that we have in us. And I'm so pleased that Michael have get the song, the second song, that like we are not going to see our God with empty hands. So it is one of the chances that we always keep our hope ready to share, so that whenever we have chance that we just have to save some people that they are interested in what we have in us. Okay. And in here, I think it's very a very nice reminder that it says, but do this with gentleness and respect. And I guess when we have our hope, we are not like we have nothing to bow except Jesus Christ. So what we are sharing, it is not what we have, but actually it is what Jesus Christ have in our what we have, it is Jesus Christ in our heart. And in also in the Beatitude, Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, it says, blessed are the gentle, and also like gentle, also translation is meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 25 to 26, it says in here that After we believe in Jesus Christ, they give us a new heart, a heart that with flesh, not a heart with stone, a heart with flesh that it is the heart that is with gentleness. In Ezekiel 36, verse 25, it says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." So Jesus Christ restored us with our heart of flesh. Therefore, we should be able to give this hope, give this answer with a gentle spirit to those asking, and also in a respectful spirit toward God. And let's carry on with verse 16. Verse 16, it says, "Keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander." In here, it says, "Speak maliciously against," which means that when you're spoken against or cursed. If he's keeping is a continuing word, keeping a clear conscience, which is a command, and tell us to be courteous and be respectful. A clear conscience is possible when we know that our suffering is not because of our bad behavior, but it is because of our good behavior. And Peter also, in different in some verses that we have read before in the previous chapter, that say why we are supposed to do good behavior. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God." Why we have to bear the unjust suffering? In chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Rather, it should be that of your inner self, not the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." So from the eyes of God, he rather to see us the inner spirit with gentle and quietness, rather than our how we dress or how we do with our outside. And it says in chapter 3, verse 6, it says, "You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." This is her daughter, is Sarah's daughter. And this is a simple explanation of our good conduct, that it may be able to take out of the wind of the sails of our critics. We may be able to stop people criticizing us when we do our word with our good behavior. In 17, "For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." Here it said, "If it is God's will," if it is God's will, as the same as in verse 14, doing good behavior and suffer, it is not normal, but we could experience. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, it said, "For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So if we do the will of our Father, then we'll be our Father's daughters and sons. And also in Matthew chapter 7, 11, it is more encouraging that it says, "If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" So in here it said that even though we are evil, and our Father in heaven will still give good gifts to us. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, So even though we are suffering, we know that our suffering is still within the will of God. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good for those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." Which means that it's according to His will. So when we do according to His will, and it is part of God's plan, and then we're, even though it is suffer with good behavior, we know that it is for the good of us who love Him. And it also have a very distinct description of what we should be looking at for the suffering with good behavior. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to verse 19, we'll be looking into that in detail on the next time when we speak, but then I just want to have it written out to you, have it read out to you so that we know that there's something, encouragement coming up by Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19, it says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as so much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you might be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. If you are suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any kind of criminal or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" In verse 18, it says, "And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinners? So then, those who suffer according to God's will should submit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good." Okay. And then now we move on to verse 18. From verse 18 to verse 22, this is a set. In this paragraph, Peter reminds us the consequence of Lord Jesus' response to injustice by persecution. He did so to strengthen us and also to make us to rededicate ourselves to follow Christ's will with all our heart and confidence. In verse 18, it says, "For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body and made alive by the Spirit." So in here it says, "For the righteous for the unrighteous," which is the same as "for the just for the injustice." This is the description of Jesus has died for us, and we can look at the description in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 11 to 12. In Isaiah chapter 53, it says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressor." This is the example of once for all final justification. Jesus died for us once, and then he died. It's not for us only, and he died for all, for whoever that believe in him. And in the second part of this verse 18, it says, he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. This "but" is making a contrast between the death and the alive. And The result of Jesus' response to God's command to die in his body is to have his spirit in a life. And so he will have resurrection, and then he will be have the like new spirit. In verse 19 and 20, we're going to look at it together. It says, verse 19. Chapter B, verse 19. After being made alive, he went to make proclamation in to the through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. So in 19 to 20, it talked about the at the time of Noah that the people only have 8 people were saved from the water. So that is the time of type of baptism that the 8 people at of Noah's family got, and then they were saved, and then they were able to have their life when Jesus come for the when Jesus have his second coming. So in here, after Jesus was made alive, and he actually preach to the spirit in prison. In here, the spirit, it is the in prison. Actually, in prison, we can look into Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10. In prison, here is indicate that it is the lower earthly region. In other words, that it could be, you can say that it is the hell. So after Jesus died, he went down before his resurrection, before his ascension, he went down to the lowly region to speak to whoever that wasn't believed, whoever that were not believed during the time of Noah. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7 to 10, it says, "But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ appointed, apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended high, higher than all the heavens, in order to fill the whole universe. Here the spirits, which is the evil angels and also the disobedient death, who was now in the hell. And it says long ago, we're back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19-20. It says that it was long ago, that in verse 20, it says that the disobeyed long ago, it is the time that of lower's time, which is like the at the in the time of like Genesis, at the time of Genesis. How can I say that there will be evil angels in prison? We can look into 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. It is clearly described in there that in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, is that for if God did not spare angels when they sinned, then, but send them to hell, putting them in chains of darkness to be held for judgment. So, for the evil angels or the unobedient angels, they were chained and put down in, put into the darkness, into hell, and wait for the judgment time to come. So in these verses, encourages us to stand for righteousness and the gospel in spite of suffering that may come. All who believe in Jesus Christ will be saved from the coming judgment, just as in Noah's day. And following that verse 21, it says, "And this water symbolized baptism that now saves you also, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of the clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Here, it means the baptism. So at that time in Noah's time, baptism saved the Christians when they are floating within Noah's ark and saved. And whoever is not within the Noah's ark, they were drowned. Baptism saves Christians now as the water at Noah's time. The water, it here clearly say that the water that when we have baptism, it is not the removal of dirt from our body. And it is the baptism is a pledge, is a sign of us that we have given our own self to Jesus. When we were baptized, that we give our own self to Jesus, and our life belongs to God. And so this is the pledge that we have towards God. And this is a sign that we will be able to be saved during the end times. And it says in here that the pledge of a good conscience toward God. And as we talk about it, about the good conscience before, and this conscience, it is, we have the heart of flesh that was, changed and put into our heart by God when we converted to Jesus. So this is as, pledge that we are sensitive. We have Holy Spirit in us, and then we are sensitive to the teaching of Holy Spirit, so that we'll be following God's teaching and lives our life according to the Holy Spirit. It says it saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation comes not by the baptism, not by circumcision, not by baptism, but the salvation comes by our faith. And so who, by our faith that Jesus Christ have resurrected from death. So it is clearly say that like by just doing baptism is not going to save you, but only by the faith that we have Christ. In verse 22, it says, "Who has gone into heaven and it is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him." So, in Psalms, there is couple verses that we see that once Christ has resurrected from death, he ascended into heaven and sitting at God's right hand. In Psalm 110, verse 1, King David has said that the Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." And also in Psalm 132, verse 11 to 12. Psalm 132, verse 11 to 12. It says, "The Lord sworn on an oath to David, a sure oath he will not revoke. One of your own descendants I will place on your throne. If your sons keep my covenant and the statutes I teach them, then their sons will sit on your throne forever and ever." Jesus Christ's ultimate victory, in spite of the temporary persecution, is an encouragement to any of us that is suffering when we're doing our good behavior for the gospel. So for the last few verses, like in verse 18, it describes the saving of the God. Jesus Christ, and in verse 19 to 20, it refers to his ministry of proclaiming good news to those designated for judgment and encourage us to be faithful, as Noah did in his time. And in verse 21 and 22, it
stresses the importance of confessing Christ and having baptism in public. It is not just the act of baptism in public, but actually it is the proclamation of confession of our sin and also proclamation that we belong to God and remind us of doing His word onwards. And then we can move on to chapter 4. In chapter 4, we're going to look into 6 verses. The first 3 verses, it talk about the Christian's behavior. And the next 3 verses, verse 4 to verse 6, talk about the non-Christian's response to our behavior. In verse 1, it says, therefore. As you say, therefore, it is the connection for the connection of the following with the previous section. The previous section, it is talk about why, how we mentally prepare ourselves to suffer, when we do our good behavior. So therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. In here, it says that even though we are suffering in the righteous, and in here remind us that Christ also suffered in his body. So if we are his disciples, whoever he goes through, that we are not exempt for that. And we can look back into chapter 2 and chapter 3. There is some verses. I'm not going to read it, but then I just you can make a note that chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, and also chapter 3, verse 14 and 17, it talk about that we could be suffered unjustly because we are Christian. And in here, verse 1, Peter encouraged us to also arm ourselves with the same attitude as Jesus suffered in his body. What attitude Jesus had is he committed his life to his father's commandment. He listened to his father and he followed his father's order to die for us. So we supposed to follow Jesus, that if he commit his life, we also have to commit our life in the same way. It doesn't mean that we have to all have to be murdered or persecuted, but at least we do our part to do our righteousness so that we'll be not ashamed to call his follower. And we identify ourselves with Christ's suffering and death in water baptism. And therefore, we put our sin behind us and live a clean life. And just like the description by Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 1 to 11, I'm not going to read the whole passage, but in Romans chapter 6, Paul was describing us how that we supposed to die from our sin and live in Christ alive. How can we do that? As it will be described in verse 2, the following verse, Peter said that as a result that if we prepare ourselves, we arm ourselves with the same attitude as Jesus, then they do not live the rest of their life, of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. So we're supposed to be done with our sin and live for God's will and not for human desires. The result of suffering in the body is to live for the will of God and not for any other reason. As it says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 to 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles, then Jesus will tell them plainly, I never knew you, away from me, you evildoers. So this is one encouragement that, and actually is a great reminder that even though we have baptism, even though we call Lord, even though we attend churches every Sunday, it doesn't mean that Lord will know us unless we do the will of God and follow the will of God. And in verse 3, it says, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. Enough time in the past, which means that Peter was speaking to the readers like us, that the behaviors in our past before they become Christian. But now, once we're Christian, we shouldn't be doing anything what the pagans do to accomplish what the desire of the Gentiles. And orgies, I don't know this word, so I look it up. And in the NASB, which means the like wild drinking party. So we're not supposed to indulge ourselves into the drunkenness and drinking parties, but put our time to do what God wants us to do. In verse 4, so if we do that, then the following three verses will be the response what the non-Christians will see. They are surprised that you do not join them in their wreckedness while living, and they heap abuse on you. So what are the while living and wreckedness, which is described in verse 3 before, the wickedness, the desires, the parties, and idol worship? So the unbeliever are astonished by the reader, by our behaviors changes and moral transformation. In verse 5, it says, but they will have to give account to him. This him is Jesus Christ, who is ready to judge the living and the dead. So at the end day, so they will be stand trial before the judgment seat. And they have to give their, they have to explain, or they have to do their own defense in front of Christ at that time. In verse 6, it says, for this is the reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards in regard to the body, but live according to God in regards to the spirit. So this is for the very purpose that the gospel was preached to those who are now dead. It is very clear that there's no second chance for conversion offered after people died. So that is an urgency that we are very, we have to work hard to make sure that we share the gospel and we share the gospel to our loved one, to our family and friends, so that they will have chance to believe in Christ before it's too late. And it says that those who are now dead refers to those now dead who have accepted the gospel while they were still alive and have suffered persecution for their faith. Though they suffer judgment, these people and us in this day, if we suffer judgment and suffering in this earthly life, even though to the point that we die, it really doesn't matter, because we will enjoy life from God in the spirit, and in heavenly reigns because of the gospel. Here at the last part of the verse, it says, to the body, according to human standards, to the body, but live according to God in regard to the spirit. So this is also a contrast like the previous one that we have it as a description for Jesus' body and his spirit back in chapter 3, verse, what is it now? Verse 18. So he was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. It is the flesh, the body that died. It really doesn't matter as long as our spirit is with God and is still alive. So because everyone will have to present their case to give account of their life to God as described in verse 5, so we have to preach the gospel, we have to share the gospel. We do so to enable people to, when they stand before the judgment seat, it will be the seat of grace, but not the judgment, not the seat of judgment. And at least at that, when they present a case, they will present a case with joy instead of present a case with sorrow. When I was doing this preparation, for all the verses that we read through so far, there was one that stand out to me very clearly. That is in chapter 3, verse 15. It says, but do this with gentleness and respect. I think this is very important. Sometimes we do find that it is very difficult to convince people. Maybe not for you guys, but I found that it's very difficult to convince people. I'm not very good with words. But then sometimes it just, it is so difficult to speak and with gentleness and respect. And I guess it is the teaching that God wants us to learn, that when we try to convince people, when we share the gospel, we also have to keep our spirit in a humble spirit with respect and also with gentleness and also respect towards God, because it is not what us we did, but it is all by grace that God have for us. So we didn't do anything great that we deserve for this gospel, but it is because of God's grace. And so this is what I have to share this week. And let's bow our head in prayer. Dear God, we are sinners and have sinned against you. And yet we know that Lord Jesus Christ had done once for all and our sins are forgiven. After our sins are forgiven, we are to transform into a new life, that the life that we only work, our only work in our new life is to do God's will. God, teach us what to do, and may your teaching be always in our heart to keep us walking within your path, like the lamb on our feet, and like the words will be like the lamb of our, on our feet, so that to guide our way, so that to follow you until the last day. We are here. We know that we try our best to do our good, to do our good behavior, but our good behavior may not have a good response by respect or agreement. But we know that you suffered even though you are just. So we are unjust and we are unjust. So we are called just because of you died for us. So you die, you commit your life. So we have to take you as an example. To even though we are persecuted, even though we were treated with unjust suffering, we are to bear because we are looking forward to the day that you come back. We're looking forward to the crown that you prepare for us. We're looking forward to the reward that you prepare for us. You keep us in your way so that we don't walk aside or we don't walk astray. We pray in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.